Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Verses 1 through 14, all of Romans chapter 13. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the way your word guides us, molds us, shapes us, informs us, and counsels us as to how to walk in wisdom in every area of life. Father, we thank you in a special way today, Father, for persons who serve our communities in law enforcement. We thank you for those in the armed forces and others who serve the community and often will put their lives in harm's way to be a blessing to those and serve those in our communities. Father, flood our law enforcement and our people in armed forces with your mercy, grace, and light. Engulf them in your spirit. Minister grace and peace more and more to them. Lord, send forth laborers amongst them more and more in our communities, in our states, our nation, and in the world. And Lord, help us as the church to be wise enough to pray daily for those in law enforcement and in the armed forces, knowing that they have a really heavy job and that they need our prayers. Flood them with your presence, your grace. Breathe on them your breath of life and lift up the light of your countenance mightily upon them today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, he is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you have placed in authority. Heavenly Father, we praise you because we know for sure that you know what you're doing with whoever you place where they are. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would love you more by loving the authority structure that you've made for us. Heavenly Father, I ask that we'd pray more for those in authority positions who have more weight on their shoulders. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd become more involved where we can to better help our neighbors. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind our listeners that Our Ten Commandments project is actually an ongoing project all year long. It's not just something that we do coming up to the summer months for the speech contest. That's a part of it, the speech challenge. That's a part of the project. But all year long, we have the challenge to where if a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments, and if they recite them to their parent, maybe to a Sunday school teacher or another adult, all we need from you is a phone call, a size, and the mailing address to mail them a T-shirt once they've memorized and successfully recited the Ten Commandments. Now, let me remind you why that's so important. Very basically, the Ten Commandments are the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, and it's about loving God and loving people. And it teaches us how to honor God in the way we carry ourselves in life. And it's the Word of God as well. And so figuring out more and more ways to plant the Word of God in the hearts of our children is very, very important. And keep in mind, some of the biggest problems you and I see in the news every day are a result of people violating one of the Ten Commandments. So I don't want to ever underestimate how important and fruitful it is for you to have your child or children participate. So again, it's an ongoing project. If you want more information about it, you can email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. But please work on having your children or grandchildren learn the Ten Commandments. It's very, very important. We are very honored to have with us in studio today Mr. Robert Hall. He's the author of a book entitled Badge Unbroken, as well as he's a local businessman here in the Tupelo, Mississippi community as well. Robert, how are you today?
I'm well, Joseph. How are you? Good morning to you.
Oh, great to have you with us today. And I had the privilege of meeting you maybe a couple months or so back, but it was an honor to meet you and to learn some about your story. You're an author, amongst other things, but you used to be in law enforcement.
Absolutely.
And so we're grateful to have you with us here. And I want to ask if you'll further introduce yourself, and then we want to dive in to allow you the opportunity to dive in and really talk about a book that in part shares about your experience in law enforcement. The book, again, is entitled Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. But if you would at this time, tell our listeners about who Robert Hall is.
Okay, who is Robert Hall? First of all, just so happy to be here. AFR, meeting you and Isaac, it's an awesome opportunity. So who is Robert Hall? I was born and raised in South Tupelo, Mississippi, until BT and Florine Hall. It was often said from birth I wasn't supposed to be here. My dad was 55 at the time, and my mom was 45. Mm-hmm. And so I was a story that probably wasn't supposed to happen. And so I grew up, same house. I had three sisters and two brothers. I was the youngest of six kids. Dad's a sharecropper. Mom was a stay-at-home mom and worked in other homes. South Hill High School, had the opportunity to go to Northeast, and then fortunately was hired by Chief Ed Kreider with the Tupelo Police Department. And another thing—
And how long ago was that?
Wow. 1987.
87, okay.
87. Actually, I was hired by accident. I was only 20 years old, fresh out of Northeast, and I had to leave Northeast early because my dad passed.
Northeast Community College.
Northeast Community College, and my dad passed, and I had to come out and go to work to help my mom and the family. So That was 1987. I was hired with the Tupelo Police Department. Did a 10-year there. Got married to my wife, Melissa Hall. Mm-hmm. Three kids, Terrell, Brandon, and Marissa. And now I joined the police department and worked there about 20 years.
Now, at 20 years of age, you joined the
correct.
Tupelo Police Department.
Yes. And, so now, local businessman. I'm a financial representative with Capital Financial Group and Mass Mutual, and I also co-own a business, Journey Medical Training Center, here in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. And so okay. I love working in the community. Love working in my church. Musician, deacon. Also in the church there. So thank you.
All right. Well, again, your book is Badge Unbroken, the Robert Hall Story. And First, if listeners are wanting to get a copy of it, how can they get a copy of Badge Unbroken?
So there's several ways. It's in the bookstores now, of course, in Tupelo, Mississippi, and certainly Oxford and other states, but mainly online, Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and just Badge Unbroken, the Robert Hall story, with co-author Sandy Grisham, who's a retired educator there from Northwest College. Her husband is Dr. Von Grisham, who is a retired educator there with Ole Miss, who also started the MacLean Institute of Learning and Community Development. So it's great meeting those as co-authors.
Okay. All righty. All right. Well, if you would take time now, just again, just jump right in and share with our listeners the story, the journey of the story behind Badge Unbroken.
Yes, I was fortunate to be the first African-American deputy chief at the Tupelo Police Department.
The very first one?
The very first one. Went through the ranks, worked patrol, dispatch, narcotics, SWAT, detectives. Did all of that and rose to the rank of deputy chief. And then, but when you move through things and God allow you to be in situations and training you for leadership and training you for who he is, things happen in our lives and in our careers that we have to figure out how to deal with them and why did this happen. And so that led to the 10-year of writing the book of Badge Unbroken, the Robert Hall story. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's a book of, I call it my story, faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is why I call it Badge Unbroken. And we go through a lot of things, but we have to realize that when we're connected to the blood of Jesus, life can pull us all kind of ways, right? Stretches, mm-hmm. you know, pull us over things, but it can't break us because we're connected with him and he has us all the way.
Well, can you tell me, how old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
I was a young kid, as in the book, 11 years old.
So you're 11 when you got saved.
I was 11, been in church all my life. Mm-hmm. Muck Creek Missionary Baptist Church, Saltillo, Mississippi. They say where the water always runs clear. I like to say that. Mm-hmm. That was when I was convicted. I've been in church, you know, all my years, but at that moment I was convicted to give my life to him.
Mm-hmm. And so at 11 years of age, you received Christ about sixth grade?
About sixth grade, somewhere around in there. It's been a while now. I'm telling my age, right?
Okay. Well, I got saved about 11 and I think about sixth grade too. So we were close in time frame in terms of when we did get saved. So, but once you got saved then, in the book, you share in the early portion of the book about just some of your experiences as a child. And where one of the things I picked up on is that, like, apparently in your journey, you went through some what I would call some pretty traumatic. You witnessed some traumatic things that, you know, some children witness these kinds of things, but some don't. Though, can you share with our listeners about that?
Yes, there were two things that I witnessed, and this was between the age of 11 and 13. I grew up with some very close friends up the street, young boy and young girl, mm-hmm. and I witnessed them, you know, leaving home and actually disappearing, and was later found in a defreezer in a neighbor's yard.
Apparently gotten in there.
And unfortunately, while the neighborhoods, the police and all was looking, I was actually with the owner of the property when he opened up the defreezer. And it's one of these old defreezers that didn't have the locking mechanism that we would have now. And mm-hmm. once they hid in there with their dog, you know, playing hide and seek, and I'm just saying they was playing that, I don't know. They got locked in and they suffocated.
Mm-hmm. Very sad thing. And of course, it can be traumatic as a child to witness something like that. So, well, we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Robert Hall, the author of the book Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. We'll be right back.
Of the earth. up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing. That he is a light shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light. He is the light for all the world to see.
The music of Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. And Robert, as we begin this segment, I'm going to ask if you, as we start, would you pray for our listeners that God would help them to have ears to hear whatever the Lord wants to speak to them about in it? Because again, as we were speaking of, there's some people listening who the Lord probably is right now calling them, men or women, into law enforcement. And of course, it, like so many other realities, is a calling. It's not for any and everybody. It's something that people need to be called of the Lord into, though. But others may be people that just know that they will sense that they need to regularly pray for their local law enforcement. You know, the church should continually be praying for people in law enforcement and people in the armed services because, again, they always need our prayers. And so, and may, there may be other things that people, that the Lord speaks to them, our listeners about. So would you pray for our listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them today?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Dear Lord, as we just come today, God, during this broadcast, we just know that you prepare us for purpose. And you sometimes prepare us as an early age when we cannot see what you have prepared for us and what you see for our purpose. So right now, God, there may be someone out there in the radio land, God, that thinking about going into law enforcement, the young men and the young women or either the military. God, we pray, God, that you just direct them, God, and let them know that there may be some dips and hard times in life, but this may be you preparing them for what their purpose would be. Right now, we just pray for their grace and their mercy and that you actually, God, just protect them and to get the education, to get the skills, to understand, God, how to work with people, God, through what you have chosen them to work for. And we just pray for their families right now, God, and just pray, God, that you just have them on solid ground to endure the storms and the rain that will come, but they will be necessary to come. Bless them right now, and thank you for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for every believer listening, and thank you for the opportunity you give us as individual believers and as the church to pray for those in law enforcement. Lord, I pray that every church representative that is listening today, that each church would take it upon themselves to have a special time and opportunity of praying for persons in law enforcement and in the armed forces, knowing that they very much need our prayers. Anoint us as the church afresh with a fresh anointing of wisdom and grace to be diligent when it comes to praying for those in law enforcement and the armed forces, and help us to be more and more the praying church you've called us to be for just these and other needs in our community as well. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Robert, so you went through some unique, you saw some what I would call sort of traumatic things in your childhood, but tell us a little bit more about what led up to you? How do you feel like the Lord led you to go into law enforcement as you did go into law enforcement?
So as I came up through life, Joseph, I, like any kid, watching TV. And at that time, it was Adam 12. I loved Adam 12. And and one thing I noticed about the officers on there, they were always protective. And they, when people in need that couldn't help themselves, they were coming to the rescue. And as I was coming up through life, I felt that I was always wanted to be a protector of the way that I see it at the time was older people and people that couldn't protect themselves. It really bothered me to see bullies in school or even on TV, you know, taking over people that couldn't protect themselves. And I wanted to be in a position that I could protect those who could not protect others. And so coming up through life and even the incidences in the book, Badge Unbroken, that I write about, I think that finding my friends in the deep freezer. And then even the other incident where the kids were killed in a house fire. Mm-hmm. I found myself, hey, how can this be prevented? What could I have done, or what could someone else have done to prevent this? You know, if there were a situation that could be fixed. And so I found myself sometimes, you know, being pushed away from certain groups in school because of maybe the way that I dressed. I maybe didn't have the money or lived in the type house they lived in. And I could feel the separation of how that would hurt someone. So I think that God was actually kind of preparing me then to do what I did for over 20 years to kind of mold me for law enforcement. And I had mentors. One was one of the first black deputy sheriffs here in Lee County. His name was Herman Hill. Mm-hmm. And another one that's just still living, his name is James Knowles. They were two of the first black sheriff deputies in Lee County. Mm-hmm. So I had influencers, and I thank them for that. Yes.
Okay. So mentors for you going into law enforcement.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Yes.
And so you were in law enforcement with the Tupelo Police Department for about 20 years then.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. So, with reference to specifically the message behind the book Badge Unbroken, then, so you're sharing about some of the instances then that happened to you kind of in the latter part of your time as an officer. Is that
yes.
right?
Okay. Yes. We have to make decisions in lives. And even though we are in positions, you know, to make those decisions, leadership is tough. Mm-hmm. And I say this for the law enforcement and people that's out there. You've got to make decisions within 2 to 3 minutes, sometime less, mm-hmm. that it takes society, you know, hours, days, weeks, years to decide if you did the right thing or not. And this mm-hmm. is why I'm so just kind of passionate to our law enforcement now, because sometimes law enforcement officers, whether black, white, Hispanic, whatever, get a bad deal of decisions that they have to make and stand behind those. And it's almost like it's just not fair. And so I want to encourage the law enforcement and the people out there in positions now, as long as you are doing the right thing of what you've been taught, of what would God do or what would Jesus do in the situations, bad things are going to happen on those decisions, but it may be to push you in your direction of where God needs you to be. Mm-hmm. And so the decisions that I made, I believe, was right at the time. And even through the court systems, it turned out that they were right at the time. Mm-hmm. But the things that law enforcement officers go through while society is trying to figure out if it was right or not, it is tough. And mm-hmm. that's where you have to rely on your faith. And that's mm-hmm. why I say this is a story of faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to, you know, continue to pray and be passionate for those that's in a decision-making position. Mm-hmm. And you have people out there that when you make these decisions, they will make them in certain areas. Some would call it was a racial decision. Mm-hmm. It was a selfish decision. You know, it was self-motivated, or, you know, you're on the bad side of the law or whatever. And it's none of that. Mm-hmm. But you can't prove it at the time. And so right. you have to wear the storms. And this goes past the officers. It affects their families, mm-hmm. their kids, their loved ones. And so as we talk, there's a law enforcement officer right now making a decision that society could change his life mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and put him on a road that he never saw. And mm-hmm. that's why I'm passionate with Badge Unbroken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, would it be accurate to say then that, like, so you were at a place where you were almost close to becoming, like, possibly the chief? Is
yes.
that right? And part of what the challenges you were dealing with is there were some people that maybe they weren't pleased with no. you kind of moving before them.
That's
and
right.
So what led up to that thing?
So I was passionate about my job. I worked hard. You know, I cared about people. I studied. I became a leader through the FBI National Academy, through other things here. Mm-hmm. I've done all these things. But I had to learn that even in society, sometimes the color of your skin or who you are can make a difference in this world mm-hmm. of how people treat you. And so when I was close to actually becoming in that position is when some officers that I've had to dealt with in the past, you know, in a corrective way, mm-hmm. Had a chance to stand up and formulate allegations and to turn stories and so on. Mm-hmm. And when you're protecting society out there, sometimes you have a suspect. That suspect may be guilty, 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 but you still have a process of doing the right thing by that until the courts decide that he is guilty. Right. And unfortunately, you know, law enforcement now, some are afraid to stand up for a suspect because they know of the retrospect that will come on them just standing up for a suspect. So they join the ranks of the cliques that sometimes in law enforcement in order to be part of the clique versus part of doing the right thing. Cliff Hardy, my best friend, who's a white officer, we started the police department together. He said one thing is that the decisions that we make today will not even stand up to close to when we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have to explain why we did what we did. And so we just need to make the right decisions, and it'll come when it comes. God will fix it in the long run. So we just have to stay faithful.
Okay. I noticed, like, that person you just mentioned, he did, was it a preface to the book?
Yes. It was one of the introductories of a actual synopsis that he wrote to stand before the leaders in our city and before the community, because there was some controversy going on. And it was along racial lines in a lot of areas. And Cliff Hardy actually put his job on the line to stand up for a black friend that he believed in and that he had worked beside me. And he put it all on the line for me, and I'm forever grateful for him for that.
Okay. And so our listeners, basically, to really understand just the essence of the book, they're gonna need to get the book of just what all happened to you, though. But I want to ask, well, share one more time, if listeners are wanting to get a copy of the book, tell them how they can do that.
Yes. Of course, here in our area, you have Reed's bookstore. And we did a lot in Oxford. You have Oxford Square Books with Nautilus Publishing. But for the most part, Amazon. And it's the Robert Hall story, Amazon.com, and Badge Unbroken.
All right. And so as a law enforcement officer who'd been on the force almost close to two decades, and then so basically allegations were brought against you people that were, well, peers.
Yes.
But were working against you.
Correct.
For maybe various nefarious reasons. And so your situation went to trial then.
It went to trial. Actually, you know, I go back to Cliff for a second. He actually was, after he defended me, he was taken off the street as an internal affairs investigator, put in a uniform, and placed in a high crime area alone.
So he was punished, basically.
He was punished. And the great thing about that is that the people in the area, the suspects or the bad guys, are the ones that protected him. Yes, right here on these streets. They protected him because even though he had arrested them or we had arrested them in the past, they were treated fairly. And so he didn't have to worry about the backup of the officers that he had investigated. He didn't have a problem anyway. Yes.
So the gangsters sort of kind of looked out for him in a sense.
And that's the way that God works.
That's right.
He would take a bad situation and make it for the good. Yes.
And so basically then, so when it was all said and done, then how did the trial turn out?
It turned out to a point where I had to make a decision. And as you were reading in the book, I knew that I had done nothing wrong. But I also had a family to take care of. And you're placed in this position. Do you go in there and plead to a misdemeanor and go to work the next day making more money than you was making on the police department? Or do you fight this and stand a chance to lose all that you ever worked for with your family, a wife and kids that has to continue to, what do you do? So I made a decision, and even though the charges have been dropped now, I said, I'm going to do this. And if you read in the book, when the judge asked me, are you truly guilty of releasing this kid that I committed a crime, I said, no, that is what my counterparts would testify to. And I don't feel I get a fair trial. And that was a decision in life that I still don't know if I'd done the right thing, but I believe I'd done the best thing. And I'll always have to fight that, you know. But through that, what God has done, he's given my integrity back. He's given me platforms. He's given me relationships with people I never would have met. I've traveled places I never would have gone. I've been able to take care of my family on a level that they never would have experienced. I still struggle with it, but I still know it was the best thing.
Well, and so once the trial ended then, were you able to continue as a law enforcement officer at that time?
I continue with my relationships. No, actually, I didn't have the certification anymore. I went straight in to a job in the community development, which I still praise that organization today.
Yes. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. And Robert's been sharing about his journey. And so, Robert, so now we're in a place in your story where you've been through the trial. And so after the trial is over, can you tell us kind of what took place at that point?
Wow. This is where God really stepped in. And I felt that I was detoured to my destiny. I was able to take a position as community development director with the Community Development Foundation, which is internationally known here in Tupelo. I was able to be elected to boards like the CREATE Foundation, who is nationally known, one of the top philanthropists, you know, in the state of Mississippi. I've been able to open a school, medical training school, where we train medical assistants, phlebotomists, and nurses aide. I've been able to sit on many boards and do plenty of speakings of my journey. And so I say that, Joseph, because of this. You know, the Bible prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. But at the time, it came close to the birth. They weren't in Bethlehem. They had to go there because of taxes.
Right.
So I take that as we sometimes have to be detoured with things, bad things in life, into the purpose of what God would have us to be. And so I want to say that life is hard, but how do we make hard better? If we were successful and someone just handed it to us, then it wouldn't be as great, right?
That's right.
But mm-hmm. when we go through the storm and the rain, now it means a lot more. So God will fix things when you don't know that he's fixing.
You know, yes. I think of this as it relates to your story, the scripture in the book of Genesis, where after Joseph, who God had let him know even as a child that through dreams that he would be a great leader that would bless and help his people in some wonderful ways. And of course, sadly, he had brothers that were jealous and came to the place where they literally wanted to kill him. But then they decided, well, let's not kill him. Let's sell him off as a slave. And they sell him off as a slave thinking, now let's see what's going to become of his dreams. But we serve a God that's so big that he can take the messed up, broken pieces of a difficult life and make a masterpiece out of it.
Absolutely.
But the key is that you keep your trust in the Lord. And Joseph could one day say, after forgiving his brothers and helping them, he could say, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Yes. So it sounds like that applies powerfully to your journey as well, then.
I know that to be true. And I keep going back to how God does things, how he forms things through faith. Mm-hmm. You know, all things are possible.
He tells us trust in the Lord.
That faith. But sometimes that faith is questioned in this human body. We say, why? and then we begin to hold on to hope. But as you see, the summation of the story is that a lot of the people that came to my rescue, they weren't the black people. Mm-hmm. It was the white people and people that did not look at me. Mm-hmm. Now I know that God is really mm-hmm. in charge because mm-hmm. now he's bringing together relationships mm-hmm. and networking of people across the racial lines for one common cause to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I had a lot of black support, but the white support and other support that have came to make things right have mm-hmm. pulled relationships together in the community that probably would not have talked mm-hmm. if I hadn't been in trouble. Mm-hmm. So God used my situation to bring things together mm-hmm. for the betterment of the good. And that's the other side of the story.
So the Lord helped you to find more of your calling.
Yes.
On the other side of this storm in your life.
On the other side of the storm.
Praise God. That's powerful. And you know, again, I think it's so powerful to know that's a powerful message and a theme in Scripture where time and time again, we go through storms and difficulties in life. Again, obviously the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, but even David, who's destined to be king, well, before he becomes king, he ends up being a fugitive, running for his life, and there were lots of kind of broken people who came to follow him, but he was running, literally running for his life from the king for years and years, and he might have thought, Lord, what did I do? But God, again, took the broken pieces of his life, and eventually, after King Saul died in battle, God elevated him to become, Jesus is the greatest king Israel mm-hmm. has ever had. But next to Jesus, King David was the next greatest king, and God elevated him after he went through those storms in his life. And again, time and time again, we serve a God that can take the messes of our life and make it into a masterpiece.
That's right. And I would just want to continue to urge law enforcement, people that want to be attorneys, people that's going to school, military, to please read Badge Unbroken mm-hmm. because I think that God has used this for a purpose and will help you through situations when you make it. And I continue to try to pray that God bring law enforcement and communities together. I just did a study abroad in Germany, over in Berlin and Hamburg and Orenburg. Mm-hmm. The relationships over there with police and civilians is not good. Mm-hmm. We are in a much better place in the States, but we can stand to be in better positions. So mm-hmm. I pray that we help bring that together. And that's what mm-hmm. I want to do with the book, mm-hmm. Badge Unbroken.
Mm. So you're doing things that probably would have never done
never.
Had you stayed on the police force.
Never. Who knows that a country boy born in 1966, South Tula, Mississippi, in a four-room house with no indoor bathroom mm-hmm. until he got in high school would mm-hmm. be doing a study abroad trip in Germany because of his mm-hmm. of his history. Mm-hmm. Never.
And you know what, that also helps me, reminds me of the fact that, you know, so often in life, under different circumstances. Sometimes families, as you experience in your family, people say, well, you weren't supposed to be here or you were a mistake. Well, people should never say that about human beings.
That's right.
Because any person conceived, every human being conceived in the world is conceived by the hand of God with a purpose, a God-ordained purpose behind them. And it's tragic how often people are literally told, you're a mistake. You know, you're not supposed to be here, and mama cried because you came, or daddy was upset and said we can't afford you. You know, people shouldn't say things like that.
Not at all.
God always has a wonderful plan for every person, and the key is come to give your life to Christ and allow Jesus to help you to walk out your purpose, whatever that might be.
That's right. And I'll say this about the badge. My badge was a police badge. Mm-hmm. That's what I wrote about. But there's so many badges out there now that people carry. The badge of life, the badge of, you know, losing a job, losing a family member, badge of sickness. That's their badge. That badge, don't let it break you. Through That's God, right. You can't be broken.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, another word of encouragement I would want to say to every person listening, individuals, men or women out there, that maybe if you sense like maybe the Lord's calling into law enforcement, take the time specifically to pray for clarity of direction. But the fact is,
yes,
every community needs good law enforcement. That's a big need in culture because of the nature of the world we live in. But so pray about it. If you feel sense the Lord may be calling you, pray and help him to discern your calling. And once you discern that that's your calling, step into it because the need is great. I'm going to take time now specifically to pray for every person listening. And I want to remind you, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, today is a good day to start praying it every day, because yes, it's true for law enforcement and people in the armed forces, but it's true for every human being. We live in a dangerous, crazy world. Thank God, by the grace of God, we do have law enforcement, because the world would be a much more difficult, tough place if it weren't for law enforcement and those in the armed forces as well. But let's take time to pray that now. Lord, thank you for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Robert, will you tell our listeners one more time, if someone wants to get a copy of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story, tell them one more time how they can get the book.
Yes, the book is on Amazon. You can get it, the book also on Kindle. It's in Reed's bookstores, both of his stores here. It should be now in Barnes and Nobles and Square Books in Oxford, and also I think it's Lemuria in Jackson, Mississippi. We will be at the book festival this Friday, the 13th. We will be a panelist there talking about Badge Unbroken as well. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, which festival is that?
That's the Mississippi Book Festival, which is the 12th and the 13th. The Jackson, Mississippi, on the grounds of the Capitol. This month, I will be down there serving as a panelist discussing the story of Badge Unbroken. So if you got kids in law enforcement, you got parents in law enforcement, you know, family, judges, please have them to get this book.
All righty. Well, thank you again so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And again, I would invite you once again, please pray for Robert and for the work that the Lord has him doing. But remember to take it on a daily basis. Pray for your local law enforcement individuals and pray for persons you know that are in our armed forces. They need your prayers. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved and make that step. If you'd like to be saved today and commit your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks again for listening. If you received Christ and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. We want to connect with you. Please email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope that you will take the time to do that. Again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.